This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
What's up, faithful? You're listening to another episode of the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast, a part of the Odyssey Network. I am Brian Rennick, and I am flying solo today. Our buddy Al is living his lonely island life. He is on a boat somewhere in the Caribbean, living his best life, drinking cocktails, lounging by the pool, and hopefully not still reeling from a brutal loss in the Super Bowl. I have not been able to distract myself with yummy drinks and a trip on the high seas. So I am still reeling. I am still thinking about the 49ers. And today I wanted to just kind of talk through the defensive coordinator hiring, which still has not happened. The 49ers are currently the only team in the NFL without a defensive coordinator. So it's not necessarily a situation where they need to act quickly. They've got plenty of time, but at the same time, Shanahan has typically had all of his coaching hires done prior to the combine, which does start next week in Indianapolis. So you'd have to think that the announcement is coming soon. In fact, Tim Kawakami of The Athletic tweeted out yesterday that he didn't have any intel, but certainly felt like an announcement was coming soon. So just wanted to talk through that a little bit. And then also the other big talking point for 49ers land or in 49ers land is Brandon Ayuk. We touched on it last episode, but just wanted to talk a little bit more, not just about Brandon Ayuk, but kind of the roster situation the 49ers find themselves in and what we could either expect or maybe look for in the coming weeks for free agency, the draft, and things of that nature. But I wanted to start with the defensive coordinator situation. In fact, I tweeted out earlier today, there's two questions that still linger when it comes to this defensive coordinator hiring. In his conference call and in subsequent media availability, Shanahan did mention that they are looking both internally and externally. And to me, the two questions that linger for me in terms of who would it be with the internal candidates is if Kyle Shanahan was comfortable with any of the internal candidates that he's looking at currently, why weren't any of those candidates hired last year? Why was Wilkes the hire? Because you look at the internal candidates and it seems like most talking heads, most beat reporters have mentioned really three names, sorry, four names on the current 49ers defensive coaching staff. And that is safeties coach Daniel Bullocks, linebackers coach Johnny Holland, defensive line coach Chris Kocurek, and then passing game specialist Daniel Sorensen. Now, Sorensen is the only one of the group that has any experience as a defensive play caller. He had spent, I believe, one season with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Daniel Bullocks has been in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan since Shanahan started, so 7 years. And the same with Johnny Holland. And then Chris Kocurek has been here for the past 6 years. If any of those candidates were viable, if you will, for Kyle Shanahan, they were still here last year prior to hiring Wilkes. So, one, why weren't any of those candidates hired over Wilkes? And then two, if you were comfortable with them as a defensive play caller, it would have made a lot of sense to make a change at defensive coordinator after the Vikings debacle during the bye for the 49ers, because it was evident from that point forward that this relationship with the 49ers and Steve Wilkes, Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilkes, it was frayed. Shanahan threw Wilkes under the bus for the zero blitz at the end of the first half, and rightfully so. It was a terrible call, but again, really made it a point to kind of throw Wilkes under the bus. And then continue to talk about, well, maybe he needs to come down from the booth, right? Wilkes said, hey, I'm more comfortable calling plays from the booth. Kyle Shanahan says, hey, we're more comfortable with our defensive coordinator on the sideline. And they didn't make a change. Wilkes came down to the sideline the first game back from the bye. They absolutely put it on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it felt like, okay, well, maybe this is the change that was needed. And then obviously, as we saw from about the Arizona Cardinals game on, the defense did not look like it was championship caliber as it has in the past. And it led to the firing of Steve Wilkes at the end of the season after a brutal Super Bowl loss. I am not one that puts that loss on the defense. I thought the defense actually played very well. But there are also people out there who said they heard from sources that Kyle Shanahan himself had a large role in crafting that defensive game plan. And if that's the case, then obviously this wasn't going to end any other way than with Wilkes being removed. So those two questions linger for me. And just the fact that it has taken the amount of time that it has. I mean, you think about when Robert Saleh was hired as the Jets head coach. It was, I didn't look, but I would venture to say days later that it was reported that D'Amico Ryans was being elevated. It was obvious that Shanahan was ready to elevate him. And granted, he knew that Saleh was probably going to be leaving for a head coach, so he probably had more time to think about it. But at the same time, with the way that things went with Steve Wilkes, I would imagine that Kyle Shanahan was probably thinking, this guy might not make it, you know, after the end of the season, unless we win a Super Bowl. But you have to think that he still, you know, was thinking, right? Thinking about it and thinking about his options. And so those questions, right? Why wasn't one of these internal candidates hired instead of Wilkes? Why wasn't one of these internal candidates promoted and Wilkes let go at the bye when it really felt evident that things weren't working the way that Shanahan wanted? I think those are two important questions to ask. And then the length of time that it has taken to make this announcement for defensive coordinator, all those to me point to this being an outside hire. And so then you start thinking about, well, who are the outside candidates? And, you know, I mentioned one that I think is I don't want to say a likely hire, but one that I think is definitely one of the leaders in the clubhouse, if you will, and that's Brandon Staley, former defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams and then former head coach of the LA Chargers. And I talked about it on our last episode. You know, you just look at the guy across the sideline coaching the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, Steve Spagnuolo. Steve Spagnuolo was an absolute abject disaster as a head coach in St. Louis. His defenses were disasters in St. Louis, even though he was the defensive play caller, very similar to Brandon Staley. And while Steve Spagnuolo had more experience than Brandon Staley prior to becoming a head coach, it was only one extra season. He was the Giants defensive coordinator for two seasons, and then the Rams hired him as head coach. And then the Rams fired him. He went back to the Giants, and then, you know, he ended up on Kansas City, and now he is the only coordinator in NFL history with four Super Bowls. Brandon Staley had one season as a defensive play caller in the NFL. He's done it at the college level as well, so he does have that experience. He was the defensive coordinator for Sean McVay, who is a close friend and peer of Kyle Shanahan. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they also share the same agent, which is another connection that I think is important to point out, because a lot of these guys that share agents also end up being on staff together. Mike McDaniel has the same agent as Kyle Shanahan. Sean McVay has the same agent as Kyle Shanahan. His name is Richmond Flowers. So I think Brandon Staley is a choice that I wouldn't be surprised about. There are quite a few people who think that the amount of time that is taken is indicative of Kyle Shanahan trying to convince Bill Belichick to take the job. But again, I don't know that Bill Belichick would do that. But on the previous episode, I said one of the things that I don't want is someone like Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel, because those two candidates are going to get a head coaching job as soon as next season. And now you're finding another defensive coordinator. But with the loss in the Super Bowl, and as we mentioned on the last episode, this likely being probably the last ride for this core of 49er players in this iteration of the Kyle Shanahan 49ers, guys like Eric Armstead, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, right? Maybe it's a situation similar to 1994 where they just go all in for this season and say, regardless of what the future looks like, we're going all in to win the Super Bowl in the 2024 season. And maybe they're willing to go a route like a Bill Belichick for one season, just to coordinate the defense. And if they think that that's going to give them the best chance to make it back to the Super Bowl and win it, then I think they might be open to that. So I really dismissed it pretty much out of hand immediately when people started suggesting Bill Belichick. But the longer this has gone and the more I think about how desperate this team likely is, I don't know that I can dismiss it out of hand. I still don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think that I can dismiss it out of hand. And that is both exciting to think about, right? Just to think about Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan teaming up, one to coordinate the offense, one to coordinate the defense. That is easily one of, if not the greatest, offensive play caller, defensive play caller combinations we've seen maybe in NFL history. Although I think Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo probably have a claim to that title, but, it would definitely be a very interesting dynamic. And I know that Belichick respects Shanahan. Obviously, Shanahan respects Belichick. I know that Belichick respects Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad. And there's a connection there. So as much as I thought, oh, there's no way that could happen when Wilkes was let go, the longer this has gone, like I said, the more I think maybe this could happen. But regardless of who they do bring in, I am pretty confident that it is going to be an outside hire. Some of the other names that have been thrown out are a couple guys from Steve Spagnuolo's staff in Kansas City, Brendan Daly, the linebackers coach there. And then I lost the name of their secondary coach. But the other thing that we got to think about is Wilkes was a secondary guy. Daniel Bullocks is a secondary guy. Sorensen is a secondary guy. And pretty much the the downfall of Steve Wilks was the front seven play of the 49ers defense. It just never felt like it was in concert with the back end of the defense. And the linebackers specifically really felt like they weren't playing the way that we were used to seeing them play, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. And perhaps that is indicative of the 49ers looking for somebody who is a front seven coach, or specifically a linebackers coach, because that's what Robert Saleh was. That's what D'Amico Ryans was. Maybe they feel like those coaches, those linebackers coaches, just have a better grasp of defensive play calling than some of these other types of position coaches. So it will be interesting to see. But like I said, I think for me, the likeliest outcome in my mind is that they do end up with an outside hire. I still have my money on Brandon Staley, but we will see, and hopefully we'll see in the next few days. Like I said, I think Shanahan wants this done and in place prior to the combine, simply so that they can all get to the combine, start doing film study and finding players to fit, you know, their scheme and have that input from that defensive coordinator. So let's go ahead and move on to some roster musings and talk about Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and all that. But let's do that after the break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. So the other big storyline post Super Bowl, and again, we touched on it in last episode, is the future of Brandon Ayuk on the 49ers. And before we even start the discussion about where they are with the cap and all of that, I want to say off the bat, the 49ers do not have to trade Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers do not have to trade or release Deebo Samuel. They don't have to do any of those things. I think the discussion about Brandon Ayuk is more about A, his interviews post Super Bowl and some of the social media postings of his girlfriend, his brother, you know, all that stuff. You know, it stuff like that gets fans up in arms and freaking out. But the reality of the situation is that Brandon Ayuk is under contract for the 49ers for next season. And if he doesn't play because he wants a new contract, then he sits out a season, and that he loses a season of service, right? He loses a season of service, but also he's still part of the 49ers. And, you know, I said, I understand that, but that doesn't matter to me, because if the 49ers are trying to win the Super Bowl next season, you don't want a disgruntled Brandon Ayuk. You don't want a Brandon Ayuk who has sat out the majority of training camp. You don't want a Brandon Ayuk who isn't focused on the goal. And so to me, this is a situation where they work hard to extend Brandon Ayuk. and make it work. And, you know, we talked about what that could look like, because the other question is, does Brandon Ayuk want to be a 49er? And we talked a lot about how impressive his season was this year in regards to production versus targets. And this is not a pass happy offense. This is not an offense that gives 135 targets to a wide receiver. It's an offense that spreads the ball around to many different playmakers. And when you share an offense with a Deebo Samuel and a Christian McCaffrey and a George Kittle and even a Juwan Jennings, you are going to see less targets. So is this a matter of Brandon Ayuk wanting to win and chase Super Bowls? Well, then, yeah, San Francisco is a place that you're going to want to be. Or is this about Brandon Ayuk wanting to prove that he is one of the better wide receivers in the NFL? And if that's the case, it's going to be hard for him to do that in San Francisco simply because he won't have the opportunity. But make no mistake, the 49ers aren't in a situation where they have to trade Brandon Ayuk. Now, you guys might remember a situation after the 2019 season in which the 49ers lost a heartbreaking Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. Feels like deja vu. And they had a very popular player in DeForest Buckner, who was up for a contract extension. And the 49ers ended up trading DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts for a first-round pick. And you might think to yourself, they find themselves in the same situation. And the reality is that they don't. It's a similar situation, but it is not exactly the same. Because not only did DeForest Buckner need an extension, but Arik Armstead was a free agent, and Jimmy Ward was a free agent. And there were other players that were about to hit free agency. And so the calculus for the 49ers was, we can either extend DeForest Buckner and lose Arik Armstead and Jimmy Ward and others, or we can sign Armstead, Ward, and others and lose DeForest Buckner, but gain a first-round pick back. And that is the decision that they made. And it's hard to... I don't want to say it's hard to argue they made the wrong decision, because I think Armstead has been a key cog in this defense since re-signing. Jimmy Ward was key through last season before he became a free agent again. And DeForest Buckner has been good and sometimes great in Indianapolis. But I don't know that losing those two players would have seen the 49ers defense perform at the levels that they have since 2019, making it to three straight NFC championship games and, you know, really being one of the better defenses in the NFL over that span. So again, they're not in the same situation. They don't have to trade Brandon Ayuk. They don't have to release Deebo Samuel. In fact, there are plenty of contract levers that this team can pull to get themselves under the cap and get themselves in good financial shape. So let's look at the salary cap and where the 49ers are right now. So this is based on numbers from Jason Hurley of 49erscap.com. You can follow him on Twitter at 49erscap. He does a tremendous job of not only reporting on the cap, but really giving fans a great resource to understand the 49ers cap specifically. There are websites like Over the Cap, SpotTrack, right? You can find a lot of information, but Jason's is specific to the 49ers, and he does a wonderful job. So make sure to follow him on Twitter. And again, you can visit at 49erscap.com. But as it currently stands, the projected 2024 cap is $242.5 million. Now, there were reports that came out, I believe yesterday, that said that the league-wide assumption is that that number is actually going to be closer to $250 million than $242 million. But as we stand right now, until that gets announced, the cap sits at $242.5 million. the adjusted cap. And again, this is some stuff that I don't fully understand how it works. That's why I rely on guys like Jason, who does understand it at a much deeper level. But where the 49ers stand currently is that they are roughly $15 million over the cap. Now, that is not where they will stay. Let's be perfectly honest. And the other thing that we've got to look at is what are some ways that they can get some money to either be players in free agency, or at the very least do things like sign their draft class, sign some of the players that they may want back that are currently scheduled to be free agents, etc. And so if you look at the 49ers current cap situation, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players currently who are scheduled to count $10 million or more against the cap. And that is in order from least to most. So Brandon Ayuk is first there with a $14.1 million cap hit, which is very, very close to the same cap hit as Christian McCaffrey. Nick Bosa's cap hit in 2024 is $14.6 million. Javon Hargrave, $15.4 million. Charvarius Ward, $18.4 million. George Kittle, $21.9 million. Fred Warner, $24.5 million. Eric Armstead, $28.3 million. Debo Samuel, $28.6 million. And Trent Williams, $31.5 million. Now, here's where things get a little dicey for the 49ers. Of those players, of those, again, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 players that are counting as $10 million or more, really it's $14 million or more, because Dre Greenlaw is next at $9.6 million, so not quite 10. But of those 10 players, only half of them are still in their 20s. Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, Charvarius Ward, and Fred Warner. Javon Hargrave, George Kittle, Eric Armstead, Trent Williams. I'm sorry, Debo Samuel will be 29. Those are older players. Those aren't players that you're necessarily thinking, yeah, I would like to pay tens of millions of dollars to those players for the next 2 to 3 years. And that's where things get a little dicey, because in order for the 49ers to get some cap space, they're going to have to restructure some of those contracts. Now, one of the ways that they can get cap space for 2024 is to extend Brandon Ayuk, because if they extend Brandon Ayuk, they can lower that $14 million cap hit, because it's a fifth year option. So that $14 million is fully guaranteed. And so in order for them to save money on that, they need to extend Ayuk so that they can then take that guaranteed money and spread it out over the life of a new contract, which would lower his cap hit. They could effectively save anywhere from $7 to $10 million just by extending Brandon Ayuk. Now, again, you're saving it for 2024. Right. And we know that Brandon Ayuk is going to want, at the very least, a fair market deal, which means that he's, you know, probably looking at $25 to $30 million a year. But again, you can massage that and make it hit the cap at much lower numbers. But outside of that, the three biggest contracts are Trent Williams, Debo Samuel, and Eric Armstead, $31.5 million, $28.6 million, and $28.3 million. Of those three, I don't think, and I said this last episode, we looked it up, I don't think they're even going to touch Debo Samuel's contract. And the reason being is because there is an out in his contract after the 2024 season. They can get out of that contract after 2024. And have a dead cap hit of about $12 million, which would be a savings of roughly $12 million because he is scheduled to make $24.2 million in 2025. I don't know. Deebo Samuel is a favorite of Kyle Shanahan. And perhaps Kyle goes to John and says, listen, I want this guy here. We're not going to cut him after 2025, so we might as well restructure him. They could. They absolutely could. If they restructure Debo's deal for 2024, let's see, they would save $15.1 million, which would put them under the cap just by that one restructure. They can save 14.2 if they restructure Trent Williams. They can save 12.2 if they restructure Eric Armstead. They can save 10.7 if they restructure Fred Warner. Really, I think those four players are the likeliest. George Kittle, they could save about $9 million if they restructure Kittle's contract. But again, Kittle's on the wrong side of 30 now. And when you restructure a deal, you are just kicking the can down the road. And if this is the last ride, perhaps that is what they're wanting to do, what they're willing to do. It's hard to know. But Kyle Shanahan doesn't necessarily strike me as the, we have to win it this year. And if that means that we're going to be in salary cap hell for the next five, I'm in. I don't think he's willing to do that. You know, I think Kyle wants to compete year in and year out. And I appreciate that about him. And, you know, if you restructure all these deals for older guys, then you're going to be paying dead money, you know, two, three, sometimes four seasons after they're done playing or they're not on the team anymore. And that's a lot of dead cap for a team that wants to compete year in and year out. Another way that they could save money with Eric Armstead is to essentially offer him an extension, which would give him one more season, and you could perhaps cut his cap number in half, right? So instead of paying him $28 million for this one season, you could pay him $28 million over the next two. That would be a way to save money, and a creative one at that. But Eric Armstead dealt with plantar fasciitis for five games this season, also had a torn meniscus, also dealt with plantar fasciitis last season. He is going to be, let's see, he is 31 right now. And so, again, the wrong side of 30. But if you're looking for your last ride, there are ways to do that. So will the 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk? I am on record saying no, they will not trade Brandon Ayuk. I think they recognize how important Ayuk is to this offense, to the future of this team. He has a great rapport with Brock Purdy, and I don't think they're willing to mess with that for a first round pick. Now, you may be in the camp that says, listen, wide receivers, they're kind of a dime a dozen. We get so many of them that come out every year. This is a bumper crop for receivers this season. I'd be willing to trade Brandon Ayuk for a mid first round pick so we can address the offensive line. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, but I think that the 49ers can still address the offensive line without having to trade one of their best players and still stand pat at 31. I think offensive line is the most important group that this team needs to upgrade this season. And I think that they can through the draft, but I don't think they need to trade up by trading arguably their best wide receiver in order to do that. So, again, all of these roster situations are fluid. None of us really know what they're going to do. You know, there are reports out there that the 49ers are probably going to cut Greenlaw and Juszczyk and in order to save money. And again, I just don't see them making drastic changes to this team. I genuinely believe that they have it in their mind that they are going to run it back one more time, right or wrong. Running it back is their best shot at winning a Super Bowl in 2024. And if they don't run it back and they get rid of some of those key contributors, I just don't think that their Super Bowl window is open in 2024. And so, no, I don't think they're going to get rid of any names that you know that you've grown to love. I think that, like I said, I think that they're going to do some cap gymnastics. They're going to bring everybody back. They may even look to add one or two players, maybe along the offensive line. I think they'll draft for offensive line. I think they'll draft for defensive line because they always do. But they've got an opportunity. This is probably the last one with this core, but they have an opportunity to run it back and make it back to the Super Bowl. But A, they got to get this defensive coordinator hire correct. And B, they've got to upgrade this offensive line. And it'll be interesting to see how they do it, whether it's free agency, draft, whatever the case may be. But to me, those are the two keys for them to have the best opportunity to run it back and get that sixth Lombardi. That's all I have for you guys today. Thanks for listening. Again, I hope Al is enjoying his time on the high seas. I will be back later this week. I am working on bringing a guest on. I haven't finalized it yet, so I don't want to say anything. But if I do, it'll be a fun episode, especially for anybody who has been a 49ers podcast, not just this podcast, but a lot of podcasts, and part of the 49ers Twitter community. I'm looking to bring an OG who got out of the game and I'm looking to bring him back at least for one appearance. So, still working on that, but I will be back later this week and we will talk more 49ers, but until then, later.
Niners on three, 1, 2, 3.
Niners! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.